Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bill, could you tell us, please, what systems you plan to run on offense?
You know, as far as systems go, if you look at offensively, to me, I would describe our system as a game plan system. You know, you have to have, in my opinion, a different game plan every week in this league because you see so many different defenses every week. You know, it'll be a system that is adaptable and flexible, and it'll be a system that the players will enjoy playing in.
Cecil Shorts and Wade Smith filling in for Payne and Pendergast. And like I teased in the segment before, there was something that's been nagging at me for the past 6 years. And the first time I heard it was, just like you heard in that audio, was when John McClain asked Bill O'Brien what type of offense would the Texans run. And he said, it's going to be a game plan week-to-week offense. And so over the past 6 years, the Texans have yet to have an offense that has ranked in the top 10 since it's been implemented. And so it's been nagging at me because I feel like they have enough talent in the room in order for them to have consistently a top 8-5 offense, especially now since Deshaun Watson is the quarterback. And I want you to put my mind at ease because me personally, I never actually played in that type of system. Everywhere I played, we had an identity. We were going to do a certain thing, and we were going to adjust based off of week to week what couple of strengths that the team we're playing against might have or weaknesses. We might exploit them. But for at the end of the day, we were us. That means if I was – you know, playing here with the Houston Texans, we were going to run outside zone. We were going to run the football play action. We were going to dictate the defenses. We weren't like water, like Bruce Lee, you know what I mean, to where we're going to – when I first heard this game plan offense thing, I was like, well, maybe they're trying to be like Bruce Lee, like, be like water, you know, be able to move and change forms at any time. And, like, maybe this thing will work. But it hasn't worked yet. Now, you've been in the offense, Cecil, so – you've been there firsthand. Is there a possibility that I'm overreacting and the fact that it's been nagging me, I'm overthinking it, or there is a possibility that this offense can be consistently a top 10 offense in NFL?
I think you're right. In my opinion, this should be a top 5 offense if you look at the weapons they have on that side of the ball. You got one of the best receivers in the league. Will Fuller, when he's healthy, he's one of the better receivers in the league. You brought in Kenny Stills. You have you shored up your offensive line and Tunsil and Max and Titus. You have a quarterback that you can argue is in the top 5 in the league right now.
Yeah.
You have a 1,000-yard back in Carlos Hyde. Before that, you had Lamar Miller, who's a 1,000-yard back, Pro Bowl guy. Duke Johnson's in the case. So now you have all these weapons, and you're still not in the top 5, top 10 in offense. It's frustrating, but for me, it's an identity issue. You mentioned when you played with the Texans or wherever you were. For example, I played against you guys. 2011, 2012, I think you were there.
Yeah.
You guys are outside zone.
Yeah.
Play action, you hitting Walter. You hitting Andre Johnson down the field. You're using your tight ends, Owen Daniels. Like, it was set up. You guys did things well. Now, of course, you made adjustments throughout the game. You had different stuff maybe for game planning on certain tendencies the defense may do. Yeah. But you guys did what you did.
Yeah.
The thing about this offense, and I played it in 2015 and 2016, and he said in the press conference how he answered McClain's question, it's literally week to week. So you can't hang your hat on nothing as a player. Like, we're going to do this week in and week out.
Yeah.
If somebody asks me, what's our identity? When I was playing, I'm like, I don't know.
How was it for you to function in that type of environment? Because
and it's
it
weird.
Seemed to me that would be a difficult way to operate as an NFL player.
I was fooled at first. And maybe that's not the right term to use, but I loved it at first. Because I'm like, the defense has no idea what we're going to do. We're going to confuse them week in and week out. But for us, we couldn't be consistent.
Yeah.
It was tough on the quarterback to change what he did well. For example, if you look at what the Tennessee Titans do, Derrick Henry gets the ball. They play action down the field to A.J. Brown. Ryan Tannehill was good because he knew exactly what he needed to do to be successful.
Yeah.
He put his players, Vrabel that is, put his players in the best position. He put what they did well. If you look at Odell Beckham when he's with the Giants, anytime he ran a slant, that was in every single game plan because he did that extremely well. Yeah. If he caught a slant, he might take that to the house. But that was in the game plan every single week. With the Texans, it's not that way. It's just based on what the defense does, and I think they're taking too much consideration of what that defense is doing. And, like, listen, we're good too. Like, do what we do well. Do what Hopkins does well. Do what Deshaun does well. Do what Duke Johnson and everybody else does well, and then make adjustments from what's going on.
So you mean to tell me you as a receiver, if you ran bang eights better than anybody else in the NFL, it wouldn't matter if you played against a team that knew how to somewhat take away the bang eight, you weren't going to run it that week.
Not going
to
do it.
And see, that's frustrating for me to hear, and it has to be frustrating for players to play in. But Bill O'Brien said in that press conference that guys are going to like it. They're going to have fun in that offense. Would you say that you had fun in a couple years that you played in that offense?
It was more frustrating than anything. Now, I had other issues too with quarterbacks and stuff like that, but it was more frustrating than anything because I felt like he put guys in boxes, so certain guys could only do certain things. And if you look at Deshaun Watson, I think he's being inconsistent because of the lack of consistency in the offense.
Yeah.
It's tough, especially when a younger guy. Now, I played with Brian Hoyer and Ryan Mallett and T.J. Yates and a little bit of Brock Osweiler, and it's tough on those guys, and they were veterans. They've been around the league a long time. And they even were a part of, two of the guys were a part of the New England system that they were running here. And it's just tough on guys. If a guy like Tom Brady can run it so well, I mean, just because a guy like Tom Brady can run it so well doesn't mean everybody else can. And I think, not knocking Deshaun, but they need to do more of what he does best.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Because you're making him think too. It's times to me, he looks like he's thinking way too much. He may be confused because not what he's seeing, but because of what he's being told to do.
Yeah.
And that's a big difference.
So from my perspective, when I'm watching games, if you're a good football player, you're not going to be exceptional one week and look like you don't belong the next.
Right.
Unless there's something going on behind the scenes that's kind of forcing your hand to be in that situation. You can't tell me that one week Deshaun Watson has a perfect passer rating and then the following week, for some reason, he's holding on to the ball too long. He's getting hit by blitzes because he's not expecting them coming. There's so many issues when it comes to guys getting lined up properly. Guys, and that is something that is very basic part of football when, hey, making sure you're aligned properly. I feel like part of the reason that's going on is because there's no consistency and no identity in what you're going to do week to week in the offense.
It's too complicated. They make things too complicated. It's not that simple. It's not that difficult. Yes, you want to be able to this is the way I always viewed it. You don't want to – everybody has tendencies in the NFL, right? And then when you play each game, that's like building a video resume.
Yeah.
So you're going to have tendencies of doing something. When you play, you guys run outside zone. On second and two, you guys might run outside zone. On third and whatever, it's tendencies, right? But you can't let others dictate what you do to the point where you have no identity at all. And that's the issue with the Texans. They let what the defense does and who they play dictate what they do too much. Of course, you got a game plan. Of course, you got to attack their weaknesses. Of course, you have to look at holes that they have and you can do this. But you have to do what your guys do best.
Yeah.
What are your strengths? What are you good at? What players are good at doing this? And they don't do that enough. They try to make it too complicated. You mentioned the ability to line up consistently. That why can't you line up? If your guys can't line up, why is it so difficult? Like I don't understand that. Like it shouldn't be that complicated. You can do, and you can run the same plays you run, just switch formations, and have different guys do different things. But that's what you do. Like that's your identity. Does that make sense?
Yeah. There's multiple coaches, and the two coaches that were in the Super Bowl this year, Kyle Shanahan and Andy Reid, they use shifting and motion more than anybody else in the NFL, and those were two of the most prolific offenses in the NFL, but they do the same things. The 49ers are going to figure out a way to run reverses with their receivers. They're going to run outside zones. They're going to pull guards, and they're going to run the running backs in A-gap. But they're going to give you so much window dressing, but get back to the same thing. And then they're going to run play-action passes off of the same run action.
Yep.
And so you see – and the problem with the Texans is this, man. You'll see certain series and certain weeks where it's like, oh – Bill O'Brien is dealing. Like they're locked in. They got some good stuff going. But then the following week, it's like, well, what happened to the team that I was just watching?
Yeah.
I watched them last week dominate the Atlanta Falcons. Or I watched them dominate the New England Patriots offensively. And then the following week, it's like, what the hell happened to the Texans? And so you're completely dependent upon the coaching staff putting together a game plan that is actually going to work against that specific defense, but you're not allowing your players to dictate what they're going to do week in and week out. And so take me into the meeting room, because like I said, I've never been a player for Bill O'Brien, and I've never been a player in a game plan offense. You knew in every place that I played, you knew that there was about 8 to 10 runs that you were going to run every single week.
Every week, yeah.
Every single week, those are going to be in the game plan. They might not
staples. Get
– they're staple runs. Mm-hmm. They're staple play actions that you're going to have. And then there might be two or three special plays you add. There's a couple of special runs that are added. Probably the same thing with the route tree with the receivers. But you had a basic tenet of this is what we're going to do. So take me into the meeting room playing for the Houston Texans with this week-to-week game plan offense. What was it like when you were getting the game plan from Bill O'Brien and I guess it was Gotsy back then?
Yeah.
From your offensive coordinator?
It was totally different every week. So you get a – and it was very detailed. I don't want to put a dim on how intelligent O'Brien is. He's a mastermind when it comes to gathering these plays and information, and him and his staff do an awesome job preparing you for the game, right?
Yeah.
But it might – be a point where it almost overload at times. And you see it. I mean, you mentioned it. There's times where Deshaun, like, he the MVP of the league. And there's other times where he's like, he looks like I don't know what to do with the ball. And if you're in the meeting room, you know how it goes. On Wednesday, Tuesday's off. So Wednesday, the first day, you get your big playbook.
Yeah.
And we're going through, I think it's first and second down. And you're looking through the plays, and it's completely different than last week. So now it's more plays. And there are routes you've seen before and concepts and runs you've seen before, but it might be from training camp.
Yeah.
It might be from week two or day two of training camp. It might be from week two of preseason. So we say it's week eight. We haven't run these particular plays 5-6 weeks. So how can you be good at running these particular plays if you haven't run them in 5-6 weeks? We haven't practiced them in 5-6 weeks. Before we got on air, you were talking about how repetition is the only way you get better at something.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
When it comes to running certain plays, and you haven't done it in 5-6 weeks, but this week we're doing it. Yes, we're going to practice it throughout the week, but how good are you going to be actually against a defense? And now you know, scout team, when you practice, scout team is made to look a certain way because you're predicting the looks that you'll get.
Yeah.
So it might work in practice. Of course, it's supposed to work in practice. The coach might get mad if a guy is not giving the predicted look. But if you run against, if you haven't run in 5-6 weeks and you're going to go against a live defense, that's tough to do. So you saw that week in and week out. There was some carryover in certain things like 2-minute critical situations.
Yeah.
But another thing that I think is the issue, they don't make good in-game adjustments.
Yeah.
So we come in with this game plan offense. If we can't do it, guess
we
what?
We're in trouble.
Like, we're in trouble. There's no great in-game adjustments by O'Brien. He's just not good in that area.
Do you think that's the reason why when – You'll notice there's certain ball games that the Texans are playing in and they get a slow start, but the defense is playing well, but you can't figure it out offensively, but they basically decide to be conservative for the rest of the game.
Absolutely.
Because it's like, all right, we can't figure out a way to have our explosive plays and adjust. So what we're going to do is play it close to the vest and we're going to let the defense and make sure we don't turn the ball over and we'll win a close game at the end.
See, in those situations, you should be able to go back to your identity.
Yeah.
They don't have none. So what they have to do is he has to call safe plays. Okay, I think we can do this well. Or we've run this since day one, so they should know this or they should know that. So they keep it real safe and not putting no. No, if you have an identity, and it's, and the going gets tough and it's crunch time, you should be able to go to your identity. Yeah. When the going got tough for y'all in 2012, you guys run outside zone.
Yeah.
When you guys had fear, you guys run outside zone.
We're going to call 19 week.
Like, that's what it was.
If it's third and one, fourth and one, whatever it may be, we're going to call 19 week. We're going to run the ball behind.
And dare you to stop it.
Exactly. We're going to run the ball behind myself and Dwayne Brown. And we're going to say, y'all know what's coming, but it don't matter. We're going to get a first down.
And that's the attitude that I don't think the Texans offense has.
Yeah.
It's so dictated on what the defense does. Like, that's like you're almost scared almost to a sense.
And listen, you don't just roll the ball out there and get to that point where you can say, you know what, I know you know what we're going to do, but you can't stop us. You have to build that from the ground up. You have to consistently repeat things and have repetition over in order to build that out over and over again. If you're doing game plan offenses, that's very difficult to do. Now, let me add another element to this.
Mm-hmm.
Game plan offense, week to week, it's very difficult to build a database of notes of how to execute play X, Y, and Z. But when you add the fact that you got injuries at certain positions, nagging injuries, guys that are going to play on Sunday, but they can't practice throughout the week because they got a little hammy here or they got a little something here, and now you're working on a completely new set of plays for this week. But then you got key guys like a Will Fuller possibly, or maybe Hop is not practicing in full because he's banged up. He's always there on Sundays, but sometimes you got to get to Sunday. How does that affect the timing and what you get out of the quarterback receiver connection on game days? It seems like that would have to have a tremendous adverse effect for the Texans offense.
Repetition is the father of learning. And when you do things over and over and over again, you obviously get better at it. When you, like, if it was an out route, Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins could probably hit it with Deshaun could probably throw with his eyes closed. He knows exactly where it's going to be.
Yeah.
But if you have a new route in for Hop this week, and he's not practicing because, like you said, he's an Ironman. He'll play Sunday, but he might be banged up. That's part of the game, right?
You everybody gets banged Sunday. Up. Yeah.
He might not run that route this week, but you got somebody else running the route. So in that Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, even on Saturday walkthrough, your timing is with the backup. It's not with the starter. So when he drops back in the game and he's expecting this DeAndre to be there at a certain time, but the backup ran it a different way.
Yeah.
And then DeAndre's running even a different way then.
They might have rounded the route a little
bit. It's totally different. So the timing's off.
DeAndre might have, he had a sharp cut on that route. And so the ball is a little bit off.
Or even the coverage might have been different. So on certain coverages, and the offense is complex. And that's what I did like about it, because it was so many options for the receiver.
Yeah.
But on certain coverages, your total route changes. So if you didn't get that rep that week or at all that week, right, you might get in the game and still run your route when you're supposed to convert into something else.
Yeah.
So Watson might be, like, looking for you to convert it, but you run the same route, so now he's stuck with the ball in his hand. Now he has to look for somebody else and scramble, do all this other stuff. So it's so much that goes into it if it's a game plan offense. But if it's something that you have an identity of, that you do extremely well, that on third and three, we're going to run this play. I don't care. I don't care what you got. I know I'm going to make this throw. I know we can make this run, and we're going to do it no matter who's in the game, because this is what we do.
Yeah.
But that's definitely an issue.
Now, we've been talking about this for about 15 minutes now, and right now I still have this nagging thought that the game plan offense is the reason why the Texans offense hasn't been consistent for the entire time that Bill O'Brien has been here. You got to give me something. Help me out here, Cecil. What are the positive things about this offense that you can kind of hang your hat on going forward with the Texans?
You're going to be prepared. You're going to know everything about the defense. It's going to be so detailed that you know on third and eighth exactly what coverage you're going to be. I played on three different teams. When I was with the Texans, I was so confident I knew exactly what they were going to do on defense.
Yeah.
I just knew, okay, it's third, it's second and five. They're going to be in cover one. He's playing inside leverage. This nickel's going to blitz. The state's going to come down to me. I have an out route now because of the conversion, because of the blitz, because of the hot route. I knew I was confident in what was going on. So I was prepared. I felt prepared each and every week. But it's times where you might have a good game. And I was a role player. So I might have a good game versus, I'll never forget, 2015, the Jets. Brian Gain was on staff. He came with me all week. He said, you're going to have a big game this week. We're going to key on you. We love your matchup. Boom, 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 boom. Had a good game. Had over 100 all-purpose yards. Played a little Wildcat that game. Had a couple big catches.
Yeah.
The next week, is somebody, it's on somebody else. The week after that, it's on somebody else. So it's like no consistency in what's going on. And that can mess with the player's psyche, if that makes sense. So that was frustrating. I'm supposed to tell you good things about it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, man. Help me out here, Cecil, now.
I'm trying. I do think it's it can work, but you need an identity.
Yeah.
Right? You can have a set of 20 to 25 plays that you – I just gave a number. A set of plays that you can mix and match every week, right? You can switch out, boom, boom, boom. But where is your identity? You need an identity. That's my biggest issue. I can't give you too many more positives about that. But you need an identity. If they can have an identity of what they're doing – and then mixing the game plan with it, I think it'll be perfect.
So this is my thing. Half of my career, I played under coaches that were in that Belichick tree, and half I played with basically Shanahan tree disciples or Bill Walsh disciples, right? So every time I played for a team that was under that Belichick tree, which was like Eric Mangini and Nick Saban and Todd Haley, exactly like you said, the preparation, knowing what the defense is going to do, that was always there.
Oh, yeah.
But the difference is with all of those other teams, we had identities. Mm-hmm. Now, sometimes the identities were successful. Sometimes they weren't. When I played for the Kansas City Chiefs, we were going to run Jamal Charles. We were going to run outside zone with Jamal Charles. We ran in 8 games, we had over 1,000 yards rushing. In 8 games, that was his rookie year. We had an identity. But we also had, like you talk about, that preparation going into each and every game. We knew, like, we used to do scouting reports. And I love this about my offensive line coach. His name was Bill Muir. He used to have us do individual scouting reports for each individual defender that we were going to face and then present them in front of everybody else in the offensive line room. I love that. That was the only coach that I had in my career that made us do that, but I loved it because you for one, you knew you had to present in front of everybody else, so you were going to prepare yourself because I'm not finna look like a fool.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to know I'm ready to go. Then you gleaned and got valuable information from all of your teammates about various defenders that you were going to face that week. But that was the mentality of those Belichick tree type of coaches, that you're going to be absolutely prepared about what you're going to get out of them and what you're going to do. But you can couple that with an identity as well.
Yeah.
And so that's the step that I think Bill O'Brien is going to have to take. And he has the keys to the kingdom. Yeah. Whatever he wants to do and however he wants to do it, that's what's going to be done. Hopefully he will learn from what he's seen over the past few years that, like, hey, maybe we need to tighten up what we do and take a little bit away and not put as much stock in what they do.
I mean, it's to the point where I came in 2015, a free agent, and I had to learn. This is, you know, April, May, off-season stuff. I had to learn 200 formations. 200 formations.
200 formations.
200 formations.
Or all of the formations, they're word terms?
Words.
Very simple, like hip.
So
hip.
It was, I mean, like no, it was, yeah, it was stuff like that. It was like frog and dog and trips and rip, and it just so many formations and signs with the formations. It was a lot.
It was daunting.
It was daunting, and I was a fifth year veteran at that point in time, or fifth year veteran at that time, and I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
So imagine a rookie or a younger guy that's coming from college having experienced that. That's a lot on them. Now, of course, it dwindles down come with the game plan offense, because there's only so many formations you could do.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you might have to learn a formation that you learned in April, in week 9.
Yeah. And so you expected to know that. Remember, we did that in week 9. Hey.
And now you have to learn the formation in week 12 that you did in training camp day 3. It's like, whoa, hold on. Okay, let me make sure. Because it's like you're relearning so much, it's hard to focus on certain things about the other team, that makes sense, and your game.
I tell you what, when I hear you talk about that, it makes me think that when I hear, is he a Houston Texans type of guy? Part of that and a lot of that has to do with the ability to take in all of this information, be able to relate back to it, and then use it going forward. And so it diminishes the talent pool that you can choose from to come on your roster. That's something else to keep in mind.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.